This sermon by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, December the 4th, 2005, and is entitled, Don't Miss It, taken from Luke chapter 2.
Let's pray together. Father, we do acknowledge tonight that you're in a class all to yourself. There are none who are like you. There's no way that we can make a comparison between you and anyone. For you are God above all gods. You are the supreme ruler of all things. The sovereign, mighty God. And tonight we've come to worship you. Tonight we've come to sing your praise. Tonight we've come together around your word, so our prayer is that you would open it to us tonight. Our prayer is that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you would awaken us to your truth, that we might be the people that you've called us to be, that we might live to the glory and honor of Christ. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you've noticed that it starts a little earlier every year. Just kind of keeps creeping back. Now we hint at it in October, if not before. By the time we get into November, the stores are all decorated. And then finally we hit Thanksgiving, and that fires the gun and says Christmas season has started. And from that point on, through the end of the year, life gets busy, hectic, and crowded. And extremely stressful. All kinds of pressure, all kinds of stresses. We've got parties we've got to go to. We've got gifts we've got to buy. We've got to do this, we've got to do that. And our life just becomes real complicated this time of year. And we have so many things that we must get done and so little time in which to get it all done. Somehow, in the midst of all of this activity, the child whom we are supposedly celebrating gets lost in all the busyness of the season. The child whom we are recognizing, the one who is worthy of our praise, is pushed aside. Of course, a lot has changed in recent years. I remember a few years ago watching a television program, and I was absolutely shocked because on this particular program there was a reporter who was interviewing a Jewish man. And it was during this time of year. And the Jewish man was busy getting everything ready for his Christmas celebration. And the reporter was intrigued by all this, and so the reporter says to the man, "Isn't it strange? I mean, you celebrating Christmas and all." And the Jewish man was just puzzled by that question. He looked at him and said, "Well, why? Why is that strange?" And he said, "Well, I mean, you know, you being Jewish, and Christmas is about Jesus." And the man was kind of dumbfounded and said to the reporter, "What does Jesus have to do with Christmas?" Well, what indeed does Jesus have to do with Christmas? I mean, that's an honest question anymore, isn't it? In the way we celebrate, in the things we do, in the things that seem so important this time of year, it seems a legitimate question to ask, what does Jesus have to do with Christmas? I know that a lot of folks are upset this year with all the anti-Christmas sentiment exhibited. I mean, now we have major stores advertising, you can come and buy your holiday tree. And so folks are upset saying, you know, they're Christmas trees, they're not holiday trees. Folks are upset because salespeople are saying, well, happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. In fact, to say Merry Christmas is taboo in many places. It would seem that the phrase no room not only speaks of the inn in Bethlehem, but it speaks to the way our culture celebrates this particular season. The attitude of the world toward Christ and the celebration of this season. But I'm convinced that for years, Christmas has gone by unnoticed by most. Oh, there have been parades, and there have been gifts given, and all the trappings of the season. But Christmas has passed by with very few taking real note. Because Christmas is not about gifts and candy and decorations and traditions. It's not even about doing good to your fellow man. Christmas is about Christ, the Lord of glory, come to redeem a fallen race. That's what Christmas is about. But ours isn't the first generation to miss that. We're not the first generation to not realize what has happened. In fact, they missed it the first time. Do you remember the innkeeper? Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. We really don't know anything about the innkeeper. We don't know there was an innkeeper. All we have to go on is this passing phrase in the midst of the story about when Jesus was born, that he was placed in a manger because there was no room in the inn, because there was no place for them in the inn. Augustus Caesar called for a census to be taken. That's for tax purposes. He's going to raise tax revenues, so he wanted everyone to register, and the way you needed to register was everyone was to go back to their ancestral home. And so Joseph, being of the lineage of David, needed to go to Bethlehem, David's hometown. There were a lot of folks who could trace their lineage back to David, plus you had David's brothers, and then he had all the other families that were there. And so all of them are coming back in order to register. So it was exceedingly crowded. And so you need to picture the scene of what was happening in Bethlehem. You've got people from all over the place coming to be registered. You got all of these out-of-town folks flooding in there because they need to register. So you've got this influx of people. You've got a limited space. And you've got some folks that have traveled a long distance. And they're tired. And it's crowded. And there are no rooms. What's the attitude going to be like? They're going to find any spot they can find where they can try to bed down for the night. They're going to try to take any space that would be available to them. Now, the word that's translated in the text, the inn, could be anything from the Renaissance to the lean-to out behind Joe's place. I mean, it covers all kinds of things. It may mean a hotel. It may mean a lean-to, or anything in between. There literally was nothing available. Wherever they went, no room, nothing here. They finally find a spot in a barnyard, and there they give birth. And yet, we keep picking on that poor innkeeper. And he's forever known as that innkeeper who didn't have any room for Jesus. He didn't have any room for this pregnant woman who had come all this way. But what we need to understand is there is nothing whatsoever anywhere in the text to indicate in any way that this person was uncaring or hostile. He was busy. He was preoccupied. He had a full house. He had more than he could say grace over. He just had too much going on. He was just too busy. And I think an awful lot of people miss Christmas altogether. Not because they're angry with God, not because they're hostile to the message of the gospel. They just don't have any time for that. They've crowded their life with other things, and they just don't have time. But see, the point is, if you're too busy to know that God has come, you're too busy. If your life is so full of activity, and your life is so crowded with your agenda and what you want to get accomplished that you have no time for God or the things of God, you're simply too busy. And an awful lot of folks miss the season. I mean, really miss the whole point of Christmas and what it's about because their life is filled with other things. And unfortunately, there are a good number of folk within the church whose lives are too busy to stop and take note, to stop and consider that God has come and the implications of that. What about Herod? You know his story from Matthew chapter 2. Now, Herod was an Idumean. He wasn't Jewish. But through political maneuvering, through political manipulation, he got himself appointed king of the Jews. That didn't set too well with the Jews. They didn't like him, for one thing. For another thing, Herod's personality. He was power hungry. He was a madman. He was obsessed with his own power and his own glory, to the point that Herod sought to destroy anything and everything that could in any way be perceived as a threat to his power, his sovereignty, and his control. Even to the point he ordered the murder of his own sons because they were a threat to his throne. And it was said it would be better to be Herod's swine than his son. Be better off being his pig than his child. Do you remember what happened? The story is told us in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men came, and they said, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come here to worship him." Do you remember Herod's response? Wonderful. No, his response was, he became exceedingly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And so he inquired, "Tell me more about this. When did this star appear? When was this child born?" Then he went to the religious leaders. He said, "Where is this child supposed to be born?" They said, "In Bethlehem, Judea." Do you remember Herod's response? He said to the wise men, "Why don't you go and worship him? Once you found him, come back and tell me so I can go worship him too." But that wasn't what he wanted to do. And they were warned in a dream to depart another way. They didn't come back. So what did Herod do? He slaughtered the children of Bethlehem. There are those who are angry toward God. There are those who are hostile toward our faith. And we see that to a large degree today, and I'm not going to deny that. There are always those who stand in opposition to the truth of the gospel. There are always those who want no recognition of God or Christ in the public arena because they don't like Him. Because to acknowledge that unto us has been born a king would be a threat to our sovereignty, to our rule, and our control. And so there are those who want no part of Christ, and they refuse to acknowledge that unto us has been born a king. Some miss because they're too busy. Others miss because it's a threat to their control. But there's a third group that is the most disturbing of all to me, and that's the religious leaders. In Matthew chapter 2, we're told that Herod called in the religious leaders and he said to them, "Where is this king to be born?" They didn't have to go consult the records. They didn't have to have a conference. They didn't have to study it for a while. They responded immediately, "In Bethlehem of Judea." They knew immediately. But they didn't bother to investigate. Isn't that strange? This is the godly crowd. These are the spiritual leaders. These are the ones who taught the truth, who preached the truth, who declared God's Messiah is coming. And word comes to them that some wise men from the east have arrived saying, "Where is he who's born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him." Where is that to happen? They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." End of story. They didn't go check it out themselves. They apparently didn't have any further interest. Some miss Christmas because they just don't care. These are the ones who frighten me. And these are the ones who break my heart because they know the truth. They just don't care. It's frightening to me. It's sickening to me. It's burdensome to me because these are the folks who are so near and yet so far. It frightens me. It burdens me that there are a great number of people who know the truth about Christmas. They have all the facts. They could tell the story. They can quote chapter and verse. Their problem is they just don't care. Which brings me to one other group I want to mention. After Jesus grows up, and he begins his public ministry. Do you remember he made a trip back home to the hometown synagogue, back to Nazareth? It's recorded for us in Luke 4. Because he was already gaining a reputation, when he came back, they wanted him to read from the scripture and say a little word, which was customary to have when a rabbi was traveling and he was back in an area that he, if he's in your synagogue, you give him an opportunity to do one of the scripture readings and to comment. And so Jesus chose the passage from Isaiah that announced that Messiah was here. And he read the passage. And he said, "Today, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And they threw a party for him and had a reception. That wasn't the reaction. You know what the reaction was? They sought to kill him. The hometown folk. The folks who were in the synagogue that he ran around in when he was a boy. The folks who had known him all his life. Had no doubt heard stories. And he comes and announces the beginning of his ministry as the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And because they were so familiar with him, they would not believe it, and they wanted to destroy him. See, coupled with that group that has all the information but just doesn't care is that group who are so familiar with the story, it means nothing. I understand the frustration of what's happened in our culture. I understand it is frustrating, and it is a sign that we are losing ground as a nation who has at least had a Christian memory and a nation who has consistently acknowledged God throughout our history. It is bothersome, it is burdensome that we see the kind of denials that we see. And I don't take it as a slight, meaningless thing when they want to get rid of Christmas. But of greater concern to me are the numbers of people who know the truth and don't care, and the numbers of people who are so familiar with the truth, it doesn't matter. I have to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me that pagans have no idea how to celebrate Christmas. I don't expect them to. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me if somebody who has no knowledge of Christ wants to put up a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. Doesn't bother me in the least. What bothers me are those who have the knowledge of Him but don't acknowledge Him throughout the rest of the year, and who don't live for His glory in March and June and August, and who are not too concerned that His name isn't honored then, but has all been out of shape because it isn't honored in December. What I want to say to all of us at the beginning of this month is let's not miss it in the midst of all of our activity, in the midst of all the stuff we've got to get done, in the midst of all the coming and going, and the doing and the laughing, and the singing and all the other. And please hear me, I'm in favor of all of it. This will shock you, but I love eating Christmas treats. I like watching Rudolph. I like all that stuff. But let's not miss what it's all about in the midst of all the stuff. Let's keep our focus where it ought to be, and let's make sure that we do more than insist on saying Merry Christmas. Let's insist on honoring Christ in the way we live, in what we say, and in sharing the gospel during the Christmas season. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, I thank You that You love us, that You have provided for us, that You have demonstrated grace and mercy and compassion in the way You've responded to us. And Father, help us to realize that too often we get bent out of shape and frustrated and go to war over the wrong issues at the wrong time. And too often we fight a battle that in the grand scheme of things is pretty insignificant, while not even taking note when a significant defeat happens right before our eyes. Father, as we looked at this morning, You have called us to impact the nations. And that begins right here, right now. That begins by making a solemn commitment of our heart and life that we will live to the glory of Christ every single day. And we'll seek every opportunity to speak the gospel. We'll seek every opportunity to stand up for truth. That our goal is to glorify Christ and to make Him known. So, Father, in this time when we celebrate the coming of the Christ, may we not so be concerned about tradition that we ignore truth. May we this year seek to honor Christ through speaking the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.